Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory.
What a blessing it is to be here on this morning as we come to study another portion of what thus saith the Lord. Usually on this particular day, especially on the evening service, we'll have our Q&A. But since we only had one question, I consulted with the elders and I said, I'm just going to answer that question on this morning. And the more that I looked into this question, the more intrigued I was. And the question was, is what does it mean to be hid in Christ? What does that mean? If you will, I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Colossians, and I want us to study just for a few minutes this great, great book. When we consider the book of Colossians, this is talking about being complete in Christ. And one thing that the Colossian brethren understood after reading the letter to them from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and really it wasn't just to be read to them, but it was also to be read to the church at Laodicea. They knew that Christ was the one who was the head of the church. When we consider this, we understand that Jesus Christ was the preeminent one. That's a big word saying that he's first place. He's number one. When we consider this great question, what does it mean to be hid in Christ? I just want us to discuss just three quick points that we're going to be looking at here in a few minutes, and then we'll do a little introductory study of the book itself, and then we'll look at those particular points as it relates to what does it mean to be hid in Christ. Number one, we're going to be looking at the position of submission. The position of submission, we'll be looking at Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The second point we're going to be looking at is going to be the plea to remain secure. The plea to remain secure. And that's going to be in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. And then lastly, we're going to be looking at the purpose for being saved. The purpose for being saved. And that's going to be verse 5 through verse 25 of chapter 3. A few things we want to look at before we consider this great question. What does it mean to be hid in Christ? If I was to give you some of these particular verses, I guarantee you, you'll see the significance of being hid in Christ. And keep in mind that he is talking to Christians. He's not talking to those who are outside of Christ. He's talking to those who are inside of Christ. When we consider this great book, five times, friends, the phrase in him, five times the phrase in him is used in this great book. In chapter 1, let's take a quick look at some of these in him passages. In verse number 19 of chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19, notice, for it pleased the Father that in him the fullness shall dwell. In him. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 6. In chapter 2 and verse number 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, notice what he tells them, so walk in him. Look at the very next verse, verse number 7, rooted and built up, notice, in him. Look at verse number 9, for in him, this is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And look at verse number 10. Now he's telling the church at Colossae, you are complete. You are filled to the full, where? In him. But then notice, three times, the phrase with him is used. The phrase with him. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 12. For you are buried with him in baptism. Isn't that interesting? Buried with him. Now, keep that in mind as we continue this particular study, and that's going to be very significant here in a few seconds. But notice what he says in verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he made alive, some version may say quickened together, made alive together, notice, with him, with him. But then notice chapter 3 and verse number 4. In chapter 3 and verse number 4, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear, notice, with him. Talking about with Christ, friends, in glory. But also, 5 times we see that phrase, 3 times we saw that phrase, but 4 times we see the phrase by him. Now this is interesting. In chapter 1 and verse number 16, notice what your Bible there says. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Talking about Christ. Friends, this whole book is about Jesus. It's about him being number one, preeminent, first place. Look at verse number 17. And he is before all things, and by him, talking about Christ, all things consist. You know, when Christ created the heavens and the earth, you know, he's the one that's holding it together even right now. He's holding everything together as we speak. Drop down to verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, that all things, he's talking about the souls of men, the souls of men. He's not talking about animals. He's not talking about planets. He's talking about people, the souls of men. But notice chapter 3 and verse number 17. In chapter 3 and verse number 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, by Christ. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. 5 times we see the phrase in him, 3 times we see the phrase with him, and 4 times we see the phrase by him. Do you think that this book is about him? It's about him. It's about Christ. It's about our Savior, the Anointed One. And friends, before we can fully appreciate being hidden in Christ, hidden by Christ, hidden with Christ, friends, we have to understand that it is all because of Christ. Now turn your Bibles to Colossians 2 and look at verse number 3. In Colossians 2 and verse number 3, Paul, as he is talking to these brethren, our brethren, friends, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says something very powerful about this man, Christ Jesus, and what God did through him. Notice verse number 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When we consider all the treasures, you think of something valuable, of wisdom. Christ is the power of God, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 24. You see a wisdom personified, meaning giving us a picture of what wisdom is in Proverbs 8. The whole chapter. Friends, when we consider the wisdom of God, you can't help but to think about Jesus. You can't help but to think about the Christ. But notice, in him, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in this man. Hold on. With that being said, friends, shouldn't we have a strong desire to be in him, since everything that we need is in him? That's where the security is. In essence, look at verse 5 of the same chapter. I believe that this is a very positive book because of verse 5. Notice what he says. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, consider this, friends. Here, the Apostle Paul was encouraging these brethren to walk in him. He was so thankful that they have received the Lord Jesus. And because of their right mentality and their right attitude, he wanted to encourage them to also be a people who were positioned in him. So let's look at something before we actually get into the question. Number one, the position of submission. The position of submission. Chapter 2, verses 11 through verse number 13. Notice what the Bible there has to say. If we're truly going to be in him, it's going to require submission. It's going to require our will being submissive to his will. Just like Jesus was submissive to his Father, we must be submissive to our Lord because we want to be submissive to the God that sent the Lord. In him, notice verse number 11. In him, or in whom, I'm sorry, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, there's a couple of things going on here that I don't want to get too deep into, but here the Apostle Paul is telling them that the circumcision made by hands was that Mosaic system where on the eighth day the child had to have the circumcision that they identified with the Jews. But here, this was a different circumcision. This is going to be a circumcision of the heart, a cutting away of sin, if you will. Notice verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen together, notice, with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Now, another thing we want to gather as it relates to the position of submission. When you think about people when they die, that's a sad time in our lives, and we know this. But what we have to do is we have to make all the arrangements, and we go to the mortician, to the funeral home, and what happens is that they take that body of our dead loved one, and they make it as beautiful as they can for presentation, and then at the appropriate time, they put it in a casket and put it in the ground. Well, the individual has no control. But this is different. This is a position of submission. When we are buried with him, we're actually walking to the gravesite ourselves, which is the water, and we are submitting to his will. Isn't that beautiful? That's a beautiful concept, friends. The position of submission is one that is walking to the burial, and notice what verse number 12 says, wherein also you are risen with him. We go to the grave by ourselves. And when we come up out of the water, we are risen with him. When we're raised, we're not by ourselves. Remember what Paul said to the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27? He said, for you're all the children of God by faith. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. It's interesting here, you are raised with him. And over there, he says, you are clothed with him, if I can say it that way. You put on Christ. You go down in the water by yourself, even though the power of the gospel drew you, Romans 1 and verse 16, John 6, 44 and 45, even though you walk to the water by yourself, drawn by the power of the gospel, but when you go down into the water and come up with somebody. Isn't that beautiful? That from that point forward, you're never alone. No wonder God can say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So let's continue. Verse number 13. And you being dead in your trespasses or in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your heart or your flesh, have he made alive, quickened together with him. There it is again, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, notice, in verse number 11, you see the body of the sins of the flesh. That's outside of Christ. That's not with Christ. In verse number 12, you see buried with him in baptism. In verse number 12, you also see risen with him. In verse number 13, you see that you being dead in your sins and circumcision of your flesh, had he made you alive. Now, I like to call this the sandwich argument. Why? Because on one side, you have the body of the sins of the flesh. On the other side, you see that you are made alive. And in the middle, you see that you are buried with him in baptism, which teaches us that baptism is necessary if a person has a desire to be made alive and come up out of the water with Christ. Amen. So what does that mean for us? This is what this means. That if we're going to be hidden in Christ, we have to take on the position of submission. We got to submit to the will of Almighty God. Which brings us to the next point. It brings us to the point of the plea to remain secure. the plea to remain secure. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Brother Popejoy read very well these texts. And notice what he says. If you then be risen with Christ. In the Greek, literally, the word if there is since. He's talking to Christians, friends. He's talking to people like us who have already gone down into the watery grave of baptism. We walk to the grave, and when we walked there, we walked as a dead man. And when we obeyed the gospel, we came up as a living man. Now we are full of life, if you will. I'm not talking about the life that all of us have, whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. But now we have the life. We have the Spirit of God as it relates to His teachings, rest, ruling, and abiding in our hearts, Romans 8, verses 4 and 5. And now we are walking with Christ. At first we were walking opposite of Christ, but now we're walking with Christ. And so He says, since then you are risen with Him. Turn your Bible to Ephesians 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, the same author, the Apostle Paul, says something that's powerful and worthy of our encouragement. In verse number 6, notice one of the benefits of being raised together with Christ. We're no longer alone. Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones in this world. We're going through things as Christians, and we feel like we're all by ourselves. Keep in mind, if you have obeyed the gospel, you're not alone. But also, guess what happened when you was raised out of that watery grave of baptism? In verse number 6, Brother Brian, notice what the Bible says. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Guess what? We got a seat in heaven. You know, sometimes we don't keep that in mind. I got a seat up there? I got a seat in heaven. Friends, that ought to encourage us. And since you have been risen, go back to chapter 3, Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Since then you have been risen with Christ. Now notice the plea to remain secure. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. That makes sense because we actually got a seat up there. And because the Colossian brethren had a seat up there, here he's encouraging them, keep your affections, your will, your thoughts, your emotions. Keep that up there. But notice, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And sometimes we struggle there. Our affections are down here. Everything that we're doing is down here. We want things right now. And he said, no, set your affections on things above, where Christ is. But then notice the next verse. And Brother Popejoy, this is a shouting moment right here. Notice what he says here. For you are dead. Hold on, Paul. You're talking to living people that can read. Because according to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 10, there is no knowledge in the grave. So he must be talking to people who are dead to their own will. Dead to their own affections. Dead to their own purpose, not self-seeking. It's not about what I want, but it's about the one in whom I'm hidden in. It's about what he wants. So he said, for you are dead and your life, Zoe is the word there. Literally, your soul. You've been clothed. And because you have been clothed and because you have a seat in heaven and because your life belongs to him, you're hid with Christ. But this word hid is very, very powerful. It comes from the Greek word crypto. We get our English word cryptic. Something concealed. To be hid. To be kept secret. Hid with Christ. Hid in God. Now notice, to be hid in Christ is to be together. To be in God is the locale. Even though we're in this building on 9th Main Street, friends, our locale is in heaven. Our locale is in the greatest place on the face of the earth, and that's the kingdom of God. That's the church. So we have been concealed, we're hidden, we're kept secret, we're to live a cryptic life, a perplexing life, a mysterious life. Why? Because our life is countercultural. Now, when I said cryptic, and when I said perplexing, you probably think, what? Why? people ought to be able to look at our lives and say, you're strange. We got Bible for that, don't we? You know, it's unfortunate that many Christians knock the doors of the church building, yet they don't live strange lives. Friends, Jesus was strange when he got here. Very strange. They didn't like the way he thought. They didn't like the way he walked. They didn't like some of his teachings. They sure didn't like him calling God his father, making himself equal with God. Friends, our thoughts, our lifestyle ought to be perplexing. It ought to be cryptic. It ought to be mysterious. Why? Because I am hid in him. But why not be hid in Christ? Because all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in him. So I want to be hid in the one that knows all things. Great point. Great point, friends. And sometimes, as the people of God, even here, the Apostle Paul had to warn the brethren at Colossae in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and following, as it relates to, notice, go there real quick. Let me show you something. In Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse number 8, he had to warn those brothers. And friends, I'm warning us today as Christians that we have to heed to the same warning because we have been hidden in Christ. Beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy. Lovers of wisdom. The wisdom that comes from the world. The wisdom that is below James 3. We want that wisdom from on high, James 3 verse 17. And vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Friends, nothing has changed. There are still people today, even in the Lord's church, that would rather go with the wisdom of man rather than the wisdom of God. But hold on. God put the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in him, not them. That's a good point. Don't we want to hide ourselves in the one that knows all things? The one that has the greatest instruction, if you will. So Paul here, he's pleading with them. And the plea is to stay and remain secure. Why? Because your life has meaning. But notice what he goes on to say in verse number 4. When Christ, Colossians 3 and verse number 4, who is our life. Now Paul says, hold on, your life is hid with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is your life, comes back. And friends, he's coming back. As a matter of fact, Philippians chapter 3, the Bible that teaches us in verse 20 and verse 21, we're actually looking to the heavens and we're waiting for him every single day. Is the day today? Is the day today? Is he going to come back today? I'm so longing to go home and be with my God and be with my Lord. Why? Because I got a seat up there waiting on me. I got a seat waiting. Oh, in a few months, my beautiful daughter's going to get married. I got a seat waiting. I don't want nobody taking my seat. That's my seat. And if I see somebody in that seat, Raphael, I'm going to say, hey, get out of my seat. Y'all get the point? You know, we got a seat waiting for us. Question. Who's going to get in the way that you lose your seat? Paul warned those brethren in verse number 8, Colossians 2. Beware! These are good brethren, wrote Rick. But even good brethren have to be warned. Beware! So notice what he says. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, which means he's coming back, then shall ye also appear with him. But notice the location, friends, in glory. Friends, I don't know if Paul could get any more clearer. He's telling them, hey, you're hidden in Christ. You're hidden in the one that has the wisdom and the knowledge. In Christ being the power of God, the wisdom of God. Don't you want to stay in him because he's in you, the hope of glory. Which brings us to our third point. How? We talk about that position of submission. We talked about the plea to remain secure. But now let's talk about the purpose for being saved. Verses 5 through the end of the chapter. It's not going to take too long at all. I just want to give you a summation. Notice the text. In verses 5 through 11, He's actually telling them how to remain in Christ. How to keep the ship tight, if you will. How to keep your life and your seat where it needs to be. In verses 5 through 11, we see a life consistent with being hid. A life consistent with being hid. We find key words like mortify. Therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. He said, put these things to death. Why? They get in the way of your mortification. They get in the way of your hiding. Your life is cryptic. Your life is perplexing. Your life is mysterious. Your life is in Christ. And it can't be in Christ if these things are taking place. So in verse number 7, he says, in the which you also walk sometimes when you lived in them, but now, notice the encouragement there, but now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. But notice the encouragement here. Since you put those things off, because this is the part of the mortification process. Here he says, and put on. The same word is in Galatians 3:27. Put on Christ Jesus. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Hold on. The very thing that is in Christ, the wisdom and knowledge, is the same thing that we must have if we're going to put on a new man, but it's only going to be a new man if it's renewed. In Romans 12, in verse 1 and 2, we find the same idea right there. But notice what he says. After the image of him that created him. But look at verses 12 through verse number 17. They were saved to sink fully into Christ. Now remember that Galatians 3, 26 and 27, being clothed in Christ, to put on Christ, literally means to slip into, to sink into Christ. To sink into your clothing. Here, he tells them in verse number 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. He told them earlier to put on the new man. Sink into the new man. Don't be naked. Hold on. When we stop and we consider this, he's telling them, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. This is the new man. This is the one that is hidden in Christ. This is the one that is sunk fully into the Savior. Kindness, humbleness of mind. I thought about that. That humbleness of mind is powerful. You know how hard it is to keep that pride at bay? You know how much pride gets us in trouble? You know how much Jesus, when he submitted himself to the will of God, Philippians chapter 2, did not count that which he had with God as something that he could grasp. Didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. He suppressed that, Brother Rick. That humility that it took to suppress that. I read something on Facebook yesterday, read it again this morning. A young lady was quoting a passage. It was Proverbs 29 and verse number 11. As it relates to a wise man not saying everything that's in his heart. You know, sometimes our pride just allows us to just say anything and everything. But that new man, friends, that new man is a man that is sunk into Christ. And notice what he says in verse number 13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel with any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, I found this very interesting as relates to being hidden in Christ. He says, put on love. Now, in 1 Timothy 1, in verse number 5, Paul tells Timothy, now the purpose, the goal, the end of the commandment is love. That makes sense. That if I'm going to slip into Christ, if I'm going to be hidden in Christ, if I'm going to be buried with him, I ought to come up just like him. Put on love, which is the super glue which is the ligaments, which is the bond. Now notice this word, perfection. Perfectness, some versions say. The idea there is that one is growing in spiritual intelligence. I'm not satisfied with what I know about Jesus today. I want to know more. Question, do you know enough about Jesus? Some people believe they do. I know I need to go to worship on Sunday. I know I need to go to Bible class. I know I need to take the Lord's Supper. I know I need to treat everybody right. That's enough. No, Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul, what do you want to know about Jesus? I want to know as much as I can, which means that I'm going to spend every hour that I can, as much time as I can, getting to know this great Savior. Because number one, I'm in him. I'm hidden in him. And I've been raised with him. Therefore, I'm going to walk with him. So Paul is telling these Colossian brethren, I want you to mature in him. Look at verses 20, 18 through 20. Being saved, being in him, literally means that my home life will be better. Wives, we see submission to your own husbands. Husbands, we see love, your wives. Don't be bitter. Why did he say that? Why is it that husbands become bitter with their spouses? Let's work on that. Let's not be bitter. Children, obey your parents. This is well-pleasing. Notice those three key words. Submit, love, obey. Verses 22 through 25, as we close, we have been saved to demonstrate Christ in occupational services. This is interesting. We see the words obedience, or obey. We see consistency. Why? Because we're not working as with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. The Christian, their employer, should never have to worry about their work ethic. Because we have a God in heaven. We have a Lord in the person of Jesus Christ who's always looking at our work ethic. And because we're pleasing him, we want to be obedient. We want to be consistent. We want to recognize the authority that he has over us and work hard and realize that we have a reward and God is fair. So, to the one that asked the question, what does it mean to be hidden in Christ? From what I gather, that's what it means. You know, it's interesting. Jesus did a lot for us, did he not? Shouldn't we hide ourselves in him? If we're not careful, we can hide ourselves in many things. Relationships, jobs, pursuit of happiness. The truth be told, happiness is in Christ. I remember one time a brother said, God is not concerned about your happiness, he's concerned about your holiness. I disagree now. God is concerned about your happiness, which should lead to holiness. He's concerned about your holiness, which should result in your happiness. Which means it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I'm happy because I got a seat in heaven. I got a seat there. And when we pay big money for a good seat, we don't want to walk there. And we got our ticket and some Joe Blow is sitting there. Hey man, this is my chair. No, this is my chair. Now I say A29, this is my chair. Well, I'm not getting up. Y'all don't get the blower fighting him. Just go to the office. Find somebody so they don't kick you out too, right? One thing in heaven, you don't have to worry about somebody in your seat. Jesus went to go prepare a mansion. And guess what? It got our name on it. Amen? If you're not in Christ, we want you to be in Christ, but you have to position yourself in submission. And then you have to understand the plea to remain secure, and then you'll understand the purpose of you being saved. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Turn to the Lord. The power of the gospel, it draws. And as God has drawn us through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, then it's going to cause you to ask yourself, what must I do to be saved? Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And God will give you the crown of life. He will give you everlasting life. He will save you from your sins. He will add you to the church if you live just faithful, even unto death. maybe a child of God, and you haven't been focused. You're in Christ, but you haven't hidden yourself. You're hidden yourself in yourself. You're hidden yourself in your job. You're hidden yourself in your children. You're hidden yourself in your spouse. No, hide yourself in Him, because that's where the treasure is. That's where the value is. That's where the wisdom is. That's where the knowledge is. And that's where we want to be. As we stand and as we sing, the Savior's